Mamo Getilijani. She is fixed income sales trader and macro strategist at Absa Capital. She's going to help us understand the 39 billion rand package we got from Tito Mboweni. And the question I suppose we should first ask is, why wasn't the very first package enough, the 500 billion? Mamo Geti, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, thanks. And how are you, Refilwe?
Excellent, thank you. Very eager to hear, first and foremost, why did we need the extra 39 billion and where is it going?
I think the extra 39 billion is largely in response to the unrest that we saw in KZN and Gauteng over the past 2 weeks. So this is over and above the COVID relief, and it's specifically for this purpose.
Where will it be allocated?
So we've got that 38.8 billion. 26.7 billion of that is the extra social grant that is going to run into March 2022. There is an extra allocation for SASRI, about 3.9 billion, just to deal with whatever shortfall they have on their claims that might be coming through on their on that side. There's another allocation of 2.3 billion for uninsured businesses. So these are businesses that were not insured, then would not be covered by SASRI, probably designed to pick up all the small businesses that did not fall within that that formalized insured sort of space. And there's about just under a billion for defense and police, just to assist them with the funding for whatever extra policing and defense activities that you had that were related to the unrest as well.
So it's not actually about the unrest. The bulk of it is actually going to the 350 rand support grant. And then my question then becomes, I mean, is this something that's going to be repeatedly rolled out or I suppose extended? Did the minister give any indication about what might happen after March next year?
Yeah, so this is the big unanswered question around what do we do with the grant system? Who gets covered under the grant? Do we have a basic income grant? You know, because we do realize that fundamentally this economy is broken. There's a lot of people that are living on the margins with no income whatsoever. We have a massive unemployment problem. And this is a question that we're going to have to answer. And I think the minister did make it very clear that this remains on the table. The whole issue of what you do with big, if we introduce a big, what do we do around productivity measures, and how do we structure a social support system like that? So I think that is the big question, because we need to answer this really, and it's quite urgent, to the extent that one believes that the unrest was partially linked to people living in abject poverty.
That's right.
To try and offset that, the country really needs to answer this one question.
I think I would agree with you there. And I think it's interesting because there's some voices in the ANC, within the ANC and within cabinet, that seem to be very supportive of the idea of a universal basic income. And it's painful to say, it's not just those who are unemployed. It's also those who are employed. And unfortunately, the South African economy is becoming completely unaffordable for them. Can we talk a little bit about the 5 billion rand that was going to employment tax incentives? How long will that be extended? And also the uninsured in the micro businesses?
I think the uninsured micro businesses, I don't think it's a function of how long that's going to be extended. It's really about who's going to claim and how. It was interesting that Edward Kiswetter, in the press statement, actually made the point that you know, they would be really looking only at those businesses that were tax compliant to start with. So I suppose there's also an effort to get more people, you know, more compliant on the tax side, on the small business side here. So saying, if you are compliant, then you can benefit from this. But it really will speak to how many claims they get. I think we need to also be quite aware that even the SASRIA story, the 3.9 billion and the uninsured businesses, that's still an open-ended question, because one doesn't quite know what the claims are actually going to look like.
Right.
Is this money sufficient, et cetera? So I think there's still some upside risk to those particular claims as well. And then the other one around extending, you know, the payments for businesses that have maybe closed in business support, that would be a carryover from the COVID the COVID crisis. We are now just coming out of level 4 lockdown. So businesses have had to contend with further lockdowns, etc. So that's also another moving target. It's another moving story. So within this current support program, there's definitely things that are current. But there's also stories that are carryovers from COVID that we're probably going to have to reassess again. So none of this is closed-ended, would be my sense.
Momokedi, can we talk for real? So about the future. So one of the things that we heard from Igasishi from the budget office was that one of the reasons we were able to extend this relief support is that our revenue collection was ahead of target. And that doesn't... You know, you in an interview in, I think, February this year, when we were ahead of collection around the budget time, made a very astute point that the fact that the government is cash flush doesn't mean we're wealthy. And it doesn't mean that we can necessarily extend the amount of spending that we have on our books. You know, there's still debt to pay down, and there's still costs that will come up in the future. When you make your assessment going forward for the country, is this not setting us back a little bit?
There is no doubt that this sets us back. You don't burn a big province and destroy infrastructure and destroy livelihoods and say you were where you were the day before you started looting and burning and destroying. So, you know, like just as a simple story, it's obvious that we have set ourselves back quite a bit, you know, by the activities of the past 2 weeks. The fact that, you know, you've got the space, and I don't want to use the word space because you don't have the space, but the fact that, you know, you were at least doing slightly better and that you could then use that cash to offset, you know, the damage that was done now does not mean that you know, you haven't set yourself back.
Mm.
So this is a major setback. And it's weird when you say it's a setback when you're already in a bad situation and you're just sitting there and you haven't managed to move. Would be my assessment. So we had an opportunity here to use 50-odd billion to pay down debt and put ourselves in a better footing than where we were. And we've basically, you know, just destroyed that. So, yeah, we're back where we were, essentially, which was not a good place. So, you know, I think South Africa has got to grapple with the current situation while trying to build a future. And how do you deal with your current challenges? So what do you do about these people that are unemployed and these people that are living in poverty while trying to wrestle for yourself some policy space to build a future that is sustainable for all? You know, what happened in Durban did not help us, you know, with answering that question. It didn't get us closer, definitely. You know, to some extent, I mean, people say, well, if people weren't as poor as they were, you wouldn't have seen the looting. So maybe it's symptomatic of the underlying problem. But we really haven't done ourselves any favors here. You know, we're still where we were, if not slightly worse off. You know, the questions and the challenges that we had going into COVID persist, only they've become more acute. You know, and we've got a little bit of room from a global economy perspective, because other economies, especially in DM space, are doing quite well in response to all the stimulus that has been put in there. So it gives us a little bit of room, but we've gone some way towards squandering some of that. But you know, we're going to have to go back. Like the minister said, and say, what are we doing about our employment market?
Yeah.
What are we doing about our productivity space? What are we doing about sustainable GDP? All those questions are still on the table.
I'm so bored. You know, I think when I used to, oh, thank you for being so honest. When I used to write economic research over a decade ago, we were talking structural reform. I'm tired.
You know, I think, you know, South Africa is one of those really noisy places where there's, you know, fundamental differences across, you know, different parties around just diagnosing the problem. So if you ask people, okay, the symptom is we have a huge unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of poverty. Our economy is not inclusive. That's a symptom.
Yes.
But if you say why, you will get so many different answers.
Right.
Some people are like, it's white monopoly capital. Some people are like, it's macro policy that has not been calibrated right. So all of these things, and you know, we have yet to decide what the problem really is. I've got my view, other people have got their views, but ultimately, though, I think it's for the president, it's for cabinet to make their own diagnosis and then implement measures. So if you look at, so for instance, Operation Vulindlela, which is the one that is currently being put on the table as a big reform push, I think it's incremental. I don't think it changes the underlying structure of this economy. So we now have to go back and say, well, do we think it's enough? I personally think it's not. It might be enough to get GDP up, but it's not enough to get inclusive growth going, you know, or to make sure that the subsequent growth that we have is inclusive. So you're probably going to be down this road 10 years down the line, maybe with better GDP growth, et cetera. But you're still going to be sitting with huge amounts of people unemployed. The youth unemployment problem in South Africa is acute. But I want to say, to be fair, it's not a South Africa issue. It's actually a global issue. And it's a regional issue. So, you know, we need to figure out what to do when you destroy manufacturing, you destroy the big engines of job creation in the world, and manufacturing gets outsourced to China. And you're sitting with all these labor pools all over the place. What do you do about that? And I think, like, even the big is not a South Africa debate. It's a global debate.
Okay.
Do we justify that or not? So there's a lot of many different questions that are happening at the same place. And South Africa, sadly, had started already with a really terrible situation that is, sorry to say this, because people always say you want to always hop on to apartheid, but we started off with a really bad wicket.
Right, our starting point was not zero. Yeah,
it was not zero. And but having said that, we need to lean a lot more into these things, and I think people need to weigh in a lot more across different sectors into the whole debate. But at some point, we need to stop debating and start doing.
Yeah.
And there is a little bit of that, but I think it's still incremental. It's not transformative.
Okay, Mamaketi, you obviously have to come back. I have to go to traffic. Thank you so much for your insight. And it's really, really, it's deep insights. I appreciate it. Mamaketi Linjani is a fixed income sales trader as well as a macro strategist for Absa Capital.